Shabbat Shalom, Parashat Shoftim. At this week's parasha, as we continue the different vignettes, a lot of commands of how to live life when you enter the land, the message that Moses gives to the people, we're going to talk about a very painful situation, a very painful matter that's relevant for our time, and these are the laws of war. Very interesting to know that war in the ancient times, because we had other formats of law, there wasn't a lot of things contributed to the laws of war. War, by definition, was a very barbaric matter. Came, people clashed to one another, basically could have done whatever they want. There wasn't a system of law. We know in the Torah there are many laws about the cleanness of the camp. We talked a couple of weeks ago about how you need to divide what the loot of what you take from the war, and different situations of how to act and how to behave. And in this week, Parasha, the matter is what happens when you are scared. Before that, the Torah gathers together and all the people are coming into the war. There are two types of war. There's a war of reshut and war of mitzvah. Reshut is non-mandatory. Basically saying that we want to conquer another area, there's a source that we want to arrive somewhere, and we are establishing a war, we are initiating a war by ourselves. That's one type of war, and that's the war we're going to talk about right now. There's another type of war, which is a war of mitzvah. It's an obligation. Why? Because we're being attacked. In this situation, when somebody's being attacked, there's no question who is going to fight it, but this is when it's volunteering. It's different. And the case is as follows. They arrive there and they set together all the people. And then a priest, a Kohen, comes and says, we will allow a couple of people to be out of here. Go out to their home. Who? Number one, if you already planted a vineyard and you didn't see the fruits, you can go back home. If you build a house, a structure, like a home, and you didn't live in it, you can go back home. And the third one, if you're engaged to be married but haven't get married yet, you can go back home and get married. Important to note that it's not really going home, but it's not to be in the front zone. The three types of reasoning behind it goes back into the set statement that says, unless somebody else will come and will take it from you. And then there's another component. After there's three elements, the priest comes again and says, if you are afraid, if you have weak heart, you can go back home. Of course, we can feel immediately there's two different elements here, two different types of reasoning to be out of the war. What's the reason you release people because they're afraid? By the way, it's something that, you know, we heard in the past. I have a personal story of a friend of mine who got this panic attack during wartime. And we know it happens, especially the commentaries explains when somebody has sins and he thinks that this is the time that, you know, after all my sins, I don't have the merit to survive and God won't help me. The reason why we are releasing this scared person, the person who is fearful, is because fear is something that catches others. When he's going to come to the troops and he's going to say, oh no, what's going to happen? Oh, I'm scared. Oh, this also is going to move. It's going to influence his friends. So in a sense, it's not because we want to release him. It's because we want to protect the other troops. Therefore, we release him to make ourselves more protected. Of course, when we talk about the sins that person has and is scared, we understand another layer. War is a time where God is helping his people. And when he's not helping the people, we can connect it to their merit or them being unfaithful. But why do we release somebody? Because of a vineyard. Because of a home, because of a wife. And more than that, why do we release them unless somebody else can come and take it? Like, if a person is dead anyway, Who cares? Somebody else gonna come and take it. This lesson I've heard from a very famous rabbi called Rabbi David Foreman. And he explained that with an initial example from a famous movie, Saving Private Ryan. Saving Private Ryan is a famous movie from World War II time, and it's a story about a family, if I'm not mistaken, that they have four people on the front lines, four brothers on the front line, and three of them are killed in a very close time. And there's a fourth person, a first son, and there's a special unit that goes into the front line and tries to find him and bring him back home. And he explains in a very basic explanation that says that there is something that is so tragic when four siblings from one family dies. Therefore, we want this tragic moment to be prevented, because if it will happen, what's going to be the influence of the other troops, of the other families, of the other on the front line, will be very damaging. But this is something we do for the benefit of many. Why do we release people from a private situation? Rabbi Foreman explains as follows, and it's very deep. Building a vineyard, building a home, getting married. Why specifically those three elements? And why do we mind if somebody else is coming to take it? And his answer is, because these three elements are so basic, are so crucial, that in a sense, if somebody gets it, if somebody fulfills it, if somebody is able to really get married, build a home, plant a vineyard, he fulfilled something in life. He is in a different stage. He is in a different place. Almost you can say he lived a life worth living. In a sense, there's something very tragic to be very close to those things and not being able to seize the deal, not being able to finish. If somebody dies young, it's painful, it's miserable. But when somebody was so close to fulfill one of the three elements, we almost look at him as a society and say, he's so close, it's so important, let's release him to have it. Where do they got those three elements? From the creation. In the creation, the first thing God did is to make us live in this beautiful, vineyard, garden, nature. That's a development of life. Look at the world we're living in. You are part of this world, and you're able to almost accomplish your own garden, your own vineyard. And of course, building a home represents how God gave us this world and says, look at the world I've created for you. You're living in this beautiful world. And when somebody almost builds his own home, in a way, he's fulfilling this step in life. And of course, Adam and Eve getting married, making a family, establishing this bond and connection with your other soul, other half, is something so profound, so important, so crucial, that we want the people to do it. Now, if you're too far from it, there's nothing we can do. But if almost you touched it, if you're almost there, we won't stop you from allowing yourself to do that. Because it is very tragic if you almost touched it and then you die, and somebody else is going to come and take it. And these three elements that are compound with the three first things that happen in the book of Genesis, in Gan Eden, in the Garden of Eden, were so profound, so important, that the Torah touched this and said to the people, if you're almost there, we will release you to do that. Of course, I think there are many layers in the explanation, but we'll put it in this way. In a very basic understanding is that when somebody is so close to something so big, so profound, his mind and his soul is not there. When somebody is going into the world, the one thing we're looking for him, as Maimonides says, is you need to forget your private life. You're now going to combat, and now you're fighting in the name of the nation. Your personal story is not relevant. I know it's hard to say. But we saw it also in this war, when people, families, husbands, fathers, went to fight, leaving their own personal matters in the back. If you can go to war and you're always over, you have your wife and your children in front of your face, what will allow you to jump on the grenade or jump and go and fight? If you're only thinking about your privacy, about your family, you're in a very difficult situation. It's an obstacle. The people of Israel, when they go to fight, they leave all their personal stories in the back. It says that in the warriors of King David, they used to bring a get, basically saying they got a temporary divorce certificate from their wife, saying in a way that we are fighting for our nation. Our personal story, our personal family is not relevant at this moment. When people are so close to such something so big, like a home, like a vineyard, like a wife, like getting married, they cannot attach themselves from the situation of their privacy. They're in there, they're thinking about it, they're focusing in that. So this is why we're telling them, go, this is not your moment. At this moment, we need people to think about the greater good. Remember, I explained there's two types of war. There's a war that is not mandatory and we are initiating it. And those elements are relevant to there. But when this is a war of mitzvah, an obligated war, and the people of Israel are being attacked, nobody is excused. Everybody is fighting, including the three people that got almost and the person who was scared. Maimonides says even a groom from his wedding day. And why is that? Because when we understand, when we feel we are under attack, the nation, the people, the land, and the state, of course you cannot think about your own benefit, about your own family. On the 7th of October, we saw so many people forgetting about their own families and just running. The Kalmazon brother, people with kids and family, lived far away, left everything to fight for the greater good of the nation. In the war of the people of Israel, our personal story is not relevant. We are focusing in the greater good of the people.